Give us an opportunity to preach the gospel this afternoon. Hold the weather for us, oh God, so that we can go out there and preach the gospel, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you also bless our fellowship. We're asking all of these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Mary Baptist Church. Take out your bulletin here today. And happy Independence Day. Independence Day is tomorrow. And we will have a sermon themed on independence here today. But we are a family-integrated church, meaning children and infants are welcome during the services. We do have a mother-baby room back there for your convenience, as well as the ladies' restroom. The men's restroom is up here in front. Remember, no eating during the service. Maintain a professional atmosphere and keep the children from running and making noise during the church service. On the next page, our service times listed. First service is at 10 a.m. Then we have a short break in our 11:15 service. Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. So many times listed. 4 p.m. Meeting here at the church building on Wednesdays. Saturdays, we have all-day soul winning, 10 to 12, lunch provided by church, and then also 2 to 4. And then Sunday afternoons, we have soul winning around 1:45 here today. Obviously, as Brother Marlon said, weather permitted. You know, it's kind of unpredictable. But what I've seen from experience is when you think it's really going to rain, it does not rain. And since I think it's going to rain, it's probably going to be great weather here later today, but we will find out. But anyways, we have our salvations and baptisms listed there for the year as well as the month for all of our churches and Bible study fellowships. Birthdays and anniversaries down there below for the month of June. On the next page, our Bible memorization challenge. And so today is the last day to quote Matthew 2, verses 12 through 23 to get the prize. The one for next week is Luke 15, 11 through 32. Both sermons next week are Father's Day themed, and so we're out of Matthew, at least for next week. Ages 8 to 10, memorizing 7 verses, and below the age of 8, memorizing just 1 verse. Upcoming activities, we do have men's choir practice here today, and we have a soul winning marathon tomorrow, weather permitted, for Independence Day. You have the freedom to do whatever you want, but in that freedom, you know, you ought to go soul winning, right? And anyways, next Sunday is Father's Day. We have our Father's Day choir. We also have our Father's Day bowling event, so that should be a lot of fun. Same location as the ladies went for Mother's Day. Our monthly prayer meeting is in 2 weeks. Current and upcoming series, we are in the alphabet of Bible doctrines, and then also the book of Matthew as well. Information on our group chat, and then on the back there's a place for notes for both of the sermons here today. So I believe that's it for announcements. We'll have Brother Marlon lead us in another sermon.
Let's turn to hymn number 206. Let's sing the song, "Oh, Say What I'm Fine." Chapter 5, near the end of your Bible, Galatians chapter 5. You have the book of John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians chapter 5, and we will only be reading verses 1 down to verse 13. Galatians chapter 5, please say amen if you're there.
Amen.
Amen. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. "Stand fast, therefore, the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing,
For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is debtor to the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Could it hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord, that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgments, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Blessed the reading of God's word. Let us pray. Lord God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given to us. I pray, Lord, that you would please bless, Lord, for this day. I pray, Lord, that you would please give us good health and for our soul winning later on. And I pray, Lord, that you would please bless your preaching and the preacher of your word, Lord, this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, we're here in Galatians chapter 5, and tomorrow is Independence Day, so I do have one sermon themed on the topic of independence. And the name of the sermon is Freedom Isn't Free. Now, when I say freedom isn't free, you could preach this in a political sense. I'm preaching in a spiritual sense, that spiritual freedom isn't free. Now, we're in the book of Galatians, and mainly we'll be in Galatians and Romans here today. And when you think of books that talk about salvation, you think of the book of John, you think of the book of Romans. But Galatians is really the book that kind of goes into the nitty and gritty of the complicated situations where there's confusion of salvation in the church. And so Galatians is the book we're going to be in here for a while. Now notice what it says here in verse 1. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The Bible says that when you get saved, you have liberty in Christ. You say, what does that mean? It means you can do whatever you want and you will still go to heaven. Because salvation is eternal life. Salvation is everlasting life. And there is liberty in the fact that no matter what you do, you are saved and on your way to heaven. I got saved at the age of 18, and I don't doubt my salvation at all because it's not dependent on what I do. It's dependent on the fact that Jesus was perfect. I believed on that, and he gave me a gift, and a gift means there's no exchange for it. It is eternal life. And when it says we tangled again with the yoke of bondage, there were people coming into the church saying, well, you know, if you're really saved, you should get your kids circumcised. If you're really saved, you're going to follow this law and that law and that law. It's like, look, we're saved by faith alone. Salvation is a free gift, and that's it. We don't have to keep the law to be saved. We don't have to keep the law to prove we're saved because we're saved by grace through faith. Verse 2, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. And what he's saying there is similar to Revelation 21:8, where we say all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. It's not saying, well, if you tell a lie, you're going to lose your salvation and go to hell. The fact that all liars go to hell means if you have one sin on your record when you die, you're guilty. Meaning you better be saved by faith alone because you're not going to work your way. And he's saying, if you're trying to work your way by saying, well, you got to get circumcised, you're a debtor to keep the whole law. Right? Every single bit of the law. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And then the Bible says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Because we cannot earn our way to heaven. We've all sinned and we are guilty. So it's not saying in verse 4, you're going to lose your salvation if you don't keep the law. It's saying people that are trusting in their works, they're fallen from grace, and Christ is of no effect unto you. But see, when you get saved by faith alone, it is eternal life that you get. You become a child of God. Go to verse number 12. You say, Brother Stuckey, why are you saying spiritual freedom isn't free if you just preached that when you get saved, you have freedom? Well, notice what it says in verse 12. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. Now, when it says cut off, what are we saying there? It's saying kill. It's saying to die. And what Paul's saying is, hey, if any man preach any other gospel than that which we have preached on you, let him be accursed, as he said in chapter 1. It's like, let him go to hell. Now look, we don't hate people of other religions, but we hate the religions and those that are the leaders of it preaching false gospels. It's better that they just die, were cut off, and went to hell than that they damn other souls to hell. I mean, the majority of people in this country are Catholic. You know what? We don't hate people that are Catholics, but we hate the Catholic religion, and we hate the ones that are the leaders of that religion. I don't hate the average unsaved Catholic, but I hate the Pope because he's a false prophet leading people to hell. And what Paul's saying is, I would they were even cut off, someone preaching a false gospel and confusing people about salvation. Right? Now, obviously, most religions are false in this world. Most people are unsaved. But most people in religion are not really, like, promoting that religion and preaching that religion. There are plenty of unsaved people around the world in different religions. But the ones that are the leaders of those religions that are doing it for the sake of money or because they hate the God of the Bible, it's like, let them be cut off, is what the Bible's saying. Verse 13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. So once again, we have liberty. We have freedom. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. You see, here's the thing. You have liberty to do whatever you want, and you will still go to heaven if you're a saved person. It is eternal life, and nothing can change that. You have liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh. And what God's saying is, you have freedom to do whatever you want, but there's also commandments that God wants you to follow. I mean, my kids have liberty to do whatever they want, and they are still my kids. Only listen to what mom and dad say. Now, you're still my kids no matter what you do, but you better obey what I say. And the Bible's saying, use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh. So here's the thing. Yes, we have freedom in Christ. We're saved forever. It's eternal life. But don't take this attitude, well, I can just go out and do whatever I want, and who cares, because I'm saved by grace. It's like, well, I've got freedom in Christ. It's like, don't put me under bondage. The Bible is not saying the fact that God has rules he wants you to follow means that you are under bondage. In Galatians 5, you got a group of people that are twisting salvation. I'm not twisting salvation because no matter what you do, you're still saved. I'm saying that as a saved child of God, God has a plan for your life. And it's different than the plan of the world. You say, Brother Stuckey, they don't have to read the Bible every day, but you're a child of God. And God says, read therein all the days of thy life. And yes, you have freedom to do whatever you want. I preach a lot of things behind this pulpit, and it's up to you what you do. You want to go out and listen to rock music, go ahead. But I'm still going to preach against it. And Paul the Apostle is saying, you have freedom, but here's a list of rules you should follow, right? It says in verse number 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When you get saved, you get indwelled with the Holy Spirit of God. Right? You have eternal life. You're indwelled with the Holy Spirit of God. However, your flesh does not disappear. Your flesh still exists. Meaning, if you're someone who lived a life as a drunkard and you get saved, you're going to struggle with drinking probably until the day you die. Because the flesh and the spirit, they fight against one another. See, as a saved person, there is part of you that is a desire to serve God and read the Bible and go to church and go soul winning and obey God's commandments. Make no mistake about it. There's another part of you that does not want to do that. You've got a sinful flesh that is fighting against the Spirit. And the Bible's saying you've got this choice in your free will. Will you walk in the flesh or are you going to walk in the Spirit? Because this morning, you could have woken up and said, you know what? I don't feel like going to church. I think I'm just going to watch TV. You know what that's called? It's called walking in the flesh. I don't feel like going to church today. I'm just going to sit around and listen to music. Walking in the flesh. Right? You have that free will choice. Notice what it says in verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. If the Bible says you cannot do the things that you want to do, is that freedom? Do you understand what I'm saying? You say, Brother Stuckey, I have a desire to read the Bible 1 hour every day, but because the flesh fights against the spirit, it stops you often. So here's the thing. Is that 100% freedom? No, it's not. All of us would say, you know what? I want to go to church, go soul winning, love God, serve God, and do right. But do you always do that? No, you don't. Why? You don't have 100% freedom. And you will never have 100% freedom in this life. You have salvation that lasts forever, and you're free in Christ in the sense that no matter what you do, you're saved. However, it doesn't mean you're automatically going to do what's right every day. Because of the fact the flesh fights against the spirit, and it says you cannot do the things that you would. You're not able to do what you want to do. See, think of it this way. Let's say you wake up and, you know, you start watching TV, you're listening to rock music, and then all of a sudden you say, man, you know what, I should read the Bible. Isn't it true that if you're kind of backsliding a little bit, it's hard to read the Bible? It's hard to do right? I mean, it's literally, you're sitting there saying, man, I got to get through 5 chapters. You're through a couple verses, and your mind's wandering. 5 minutes later, what am I doing on Facebook? You say, why? Because when you walk in the flesh, it fights against the spirit, and the flesh will fight against the spirit until the day you die. And you've got to make that choice every day. Am I going to walk in the spirit, or am I going to walk in the flesh? And if you walk in the flesh, you cannot do the things that you would. See, here's what you have to understand. The spirit wants something. The flesh wants something else. Both sides cannot get what they want. Do you understand that? Both sides can't get what they want. And it is a daily fight because you've got the spirit and the flesh until the day you die. Right? Go in your Bible to Galatians 6. Galatians chapter 6. Now, make no mistake about it, if you're saved, it is easier to do right than if you're unsaved for many reasons. As a child of God, you know what the Bible says? You understand what you should do. You have guilt that will come upon you when you break God's commandments due to the Holy Spirit indwelling you. You have a heavenly Father that is a child of God. You can go to God at any time in prayer and talk to Him. And He can help you through things. We know you can quote the Word of God to overcome temptation. It's easier, but it's not easy. It will never be easy to do right all the time. Why? Because we're sinners with a sinful flesh until the day we die. Galatians 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. The Bible says, if you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. You sow to the Spirit, you reap life everlasting. You get rewards in heaven that do not pass away. Now, I want you to think about this logically. Let's say, for example, somebody is a drunkard, right? Lusting at Osha. Every day they drink and they smoke every single day. Do they have complete freedom? Do most people that smoke cigarettes every day want to smoke cigarettes? No. They've been trying to quit every single day of their life. What they want to do is this, and yet every single day it's like, I got to have that cigarette. I'll start tomorrow. I'll start the next day. And look, I'm not mocking you if you're struggling with that sin of smoking cigarettes. I'm using an example that we can relate to in the fact that people that smoke cigarettes, they want to stop and they can't. Is that freedom? If you don't want to smoke cigarettes, yet you destroy your health and use up all your money on something you don't want to do, is that freedom? I mean, you think of addictions. If someone is addicted to a vice, they're addicted to cigarettes, addicted to porn, addicted to drugs, addicted to alcohol. What it means is they want to stop and they can't because that addiction has a hold on them. Is that freedom? Someone who gets drunk all the time and they want to quit because it's so expensive and they just have to drink alcohol. Is that freedom? It's not freedom at all. right? Or how about this? You drink every single day of your life, but you want the freedom to be completely healthy and die at the age of 100 and be the greatest husband ever and the greatest parent ever while getting drunk every single night. It's not possible, my friend, because actions you make have consequences. And here's what I'm saying. If you serve the flesh and say, I don't want these rules that God has for me, you're going to find your life in bondage and corruption, and you're going to destroy your life. You're not going to have freedom. Right? You know, you're in bondage, meaning the sin has control on you. You don't have control over it, meaning you don't have freedom. And what's interesting about this is when people say, I don't want the rules of God to obey, what they find is they put themselves in bondage and corruption, and they have less freedom. Right? You serve the flesh, you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption, and you will lose your freedom in your life. Go in your Bible to Romans 7. Romans 7. Romans 7. Now, you don't have to listen to me. I mean, just go out and sin and do wrong and get arrested because you want to do drugs or whatever. Because you want to have so much freedom. Really? So when you're in prison and they tell you when to wake up, where to sleep, what to eat, what kind of freedom do you have? Do people in prison have much freedom? Nope. They're told what to do. It's like you got 2 minutes to eat. How is that freedom? It's no freedom. And see, here's the thing. When you serve God and willingly put yourself under the commandments of God, say, you know what, I want to do right and serve God, you're going to find great freedom in your life. But if you want to resist all authority and just do whatever you want, you're going to find yourself in bondage. Romans 7, verse 12. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Now notice what Paul says in verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. Now what he's saying here is the things that I'm doing are things that I don't permit, I don't say are okay. It's like these are things I preach against. I say, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, and yet I'm doing exactly what I say not to do. That which I do, I allow not. And then he says, for what I would, meaning the things I want to do, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. You see, if Paul the Apostle was around today, he would say, you know what, I want to memorize the Bible. When I have free time, I want to spend my time memorizing the Bible, meditating upon God's word. But I've got this sinful flesh that keeps fighting against me. It's like I start memorizing the Bible, and then all of a sudden, all these things are fighting against me, stopping me from doing what I want to do. The things that I would do, I'm not doing. So look, if Paul the Apostle struggled with fighting against the flesh, every single one of us is going to struggle with this until the day we die. Then it says this in verse 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And by the way, Paul speaks in the present tense. He doesn't say the things that I used to do. He says, no, the things I do. Present tense, he still struggles with the flesh. Because this is a daily battle that every saved person will have to fight until the day you die. Not to keep your salvation, because you have eternal life. I mean, you get born into a family. You only get born one time. And your parents are always your parents. But in terms of trying to serve God and do right, your flesh will fight against you until the day you die. Because your spirit wants to do right and the flesh wants to do wrong. Then he says, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that do I. And he's saying, what I want to do, I'm not doing, and yet I'm sinning every single day. Right? Look, every single person that saves sins every day of their life. The thought of foolishness is sin. Unless you want to tell me you spend a day just 100% meditating upon God's word, not having a bad thought, never covetous, nothing. I mean, I don't believe that. I believe that we're all sinners and we struggle. Every single one of us. Verse number 20. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So what Paul's saying is, I don't want to do this, so it's not my spiritual man. It's the flesh that's doing this. Verse 21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. And if you are saved, you delight in the law of God after the inward man. Your spirit wants to do right. Look, I'm sure that when you're in church, you know, you're hearing a sermon, you're singing hymns, you're walking in the spirit when you're in church, and you're kind of casting off the flesh for at least a few hours. And when you're in church, you often probably think, man, I want to read the Bible more. Nobody is in church, they hear a sermon, man, I want to read the Bible less. Brother Stuckey motivated me to read the Bible less, to go to church less. No, you're in church, you're like, man, I want to read the Bible more, meditate on God's word more, I want to pray more, go soul winning more, I want to spend less time on things that don't matter in this life. But once you walk out of here and you go back to the world and you wake up tomorrow morning, you've got that flesh that says, oh, you're going to start reading the Bible every morning? We'll see about that. And the flesh is going to fight against the spirit until the day you die. Now, I wish I could tell you the magic formula where you press this button and it's easy to serve God. But it's not. It's not easy to serve God. It's not easy to do right. It's not easy to just wake up and read the Bible and memorize the Bible and serve God and do right, because our flesh fights against us. Verse number 23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I was. No, he says, O wretched man that I am. He doesn't say, O wretched man that I was before I was saved. He's saying, O wretched man that I am. I still struggle with sin. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. And as we often say, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Right? Turn your Bible to Romans 6. Romans chapter 6. Here's a dictionary definition of the word freedom. The power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants without hindrance or restraint. Well, we're going to have hindrance and restraint from our flesh until the day we die. So that's the definition of freedom. It's like we don't have 100% perfect freedom because we don't always do what is right. We have resistance against us. And I'm just talking about the flesh. Obviously, the devil's doing everything he can to make it harder also. There is certainly resistance. There is certainly restraint on us from doing what's right. And it's going to be like that until the day that we die. You know, you use the terminology being in bondage to sin, in bondage to drugs. You know, Paul uses the same terminology when he is in prison. In bonds, meaning he's tied up and he can't get out. Somebody who's in prison is stuck there. They can't get themselves out. Somebody has to let them out. Or time has to go by so their sentence is gone. They don't have freedom just to walk out of that jail whenever they want because they're in bonds. Somebody else is controlling them. And what the Bible teaches is we can put ourselves under the bondage of sin where sin tells you what to do. Oh, you say you don't want to smoke? Well, you know what? I want you to smoke. Right? That's what takes place. Oh, you say you don't want to drink? Well, you know what? I want you to drink, so you're going to drink. And you find yourself doing wrong all the time. And look, when you're a saved child of God that does wrong, the guilt is horrible afterwards. You're like, man, why do I struggle with this? Because just simply being saved doesn't mean you have 100% perfect spiritual freedom. You have freedom in the sense that no matter what you do, you're going to go to heaven. But wait a minute, are you just always doing what you want to do all the time? Nope. And look, we're not a Catholic church. This is not a confessional booth, okay? I don't want to raise up hands. It's like I'm not that type of preacher, okay? But the reality is, if we were honest, we'd all say, yeah, you know what? Oftentimes, I'm lazy. It's like you sing that song, I wonder have I done my best for Jesus. It's like, nope.
It's like I've wondered if I've even come close to doing my best. Because God says, I want you to be a living sacrifice. God gave you the gift of life, and then he gave you the gift of eternal life. And for all of us in this room, he's blessed you in a multitude of ways. Right. Now, I'm sure there's other people out there that might have better health than you, but everybody in this room, there's also people with worse health. There's probably people that have a lot more money than you, but there's also people that have a lot less in life. And we live in a country that there's freedom to serve God. We don't live in ancient Egypt where we're not allowed to come to church. I mean, did anybody arrest you this morning when you tried to come to church? Nope. Right? We have a lot of freedom in a political sense to do what we want. We have freedom to serve God. They don't have that in Muslim countries. Right. You preach the gospel, there goes your head. They don't have that in India. They don't have that in Buddhist countries. Countries with false religions, they don't just have freedom to do whatever they want. Russia is a Christian country where it's illegal to preach the gospel. They don't have freedom. We have a lot of freedom to do what we want in a political sense in this life, but we have the flesh that fights against us. And even though we want to read the Bible, we want to go to church, we want to memorize the Bible, yet we find ourselves on a weekly basis struggling with the same things over and over and over again. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. And look, when you get saved, you do have an ability to overcome sin in an easier way than before you're saved. It is not a guarantee. It's not a promise that it's going to happen. But as a child of God, you've got the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. You can pray to God. You know the truth. You know what's right. You know what you should do. But you're still going to struggle with that because the flesh is fighting against the spirit. Verse 8, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice verse 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. When you think of a king, like the king of England, the king of a country, we use the terminology reigning, right? During the millennial reign of Christ, as the king, meaning you are the head, you make the rules, you say what gets done as the king. And the Bible says, do not allow, let not sin therefore reign. What the Bible's saying is, you give sin an opportunity to get to the inside of you, and sin will control your life. You get in the bondage of drinking and drugs and smoking and worldliness and laziness and addictions, and sin will tell you what to do. Where basically you wake up and you know, I should do this, but man, I can't stop myself. I can't help myself. Now look, all of us, to some level of degree, we allow sin to reign in certain areas of our life because we're not perfect. We understand that. And when I get up here and preach, I'm not sitting here saying, hey, I'm perfect. You know, don't let sin reign. Be just like me because I never let it. I mean, obviously we all struggle with this. What the Bible's saying, though, is if you allow sin to get in your life, sin will dominate your life. It will control your life. Right? You know, the quote where sin will always take you further than you want to go, you know, I'm misquoting this, but cost you more than you're willing to pay, keep you longer than you want to stay. We're basically saying, hey, I'm willing to do this, but I'm going to stop here. But wait a minute, once you do that, sin has control. It says, no, I want you to go one step further. Right. I want you to go one step further. Right? And the Bible says, do not allow sin to reign or to control your life. You say, well, how do I do this, Brother Stucky? Here's what you do. You wake up tomorrow morning and you start walking in the new man. You say, I can take a break from Facebook for a little while. I can take a break from these other things for a little while. I'm going to start my day by praying and reading the Bible so I can start walking in the new man. Instead of starting your day with sin and worldliness, and then you try to start walking in the new man. Well, you cannot do the things that you would because you've already strengthened the flesh. Think of it this way. And look, I've never smoked a cigarette in the day of my life, but from my understanding, it's like one of the strongest addictions that people have. let's say somebody smokes every day and they decide that on June 11th, 2023, they're going to stop. If that's you today, then you have a very, very, very strong desire to smoke a cigarette. And it's very hard not to do it. But let's say, for example, you don't smoke today and you go 1 year. And you show up here on June 11th, 2033, which I know that's not a Sunday, but I have no idea which day will be, you know, Sunday. But a year from now, basically, in church, and you haven't smoked for a year, is your desire to smoke going to be as strong as it was the first day you quit? No, it's not. Because you can basically kill off the flesh. Now, you're never going to permanently destroy the flesh, but let me give you an example. When I first got saved, I listened to hard rock music. Aerosmith, AC/DC, Guns N' Roses, Led Zeppelin, very sinful music. And you know what? I realized very soon after I got saved, you know what? I don't think God wants me to listen to music that talk about, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, as they say. It's like, I don't really think that's what God wants me to listen to. But here's the thing. I didn't just immediately stop. You say, why? Because I was under bondage of that music. I knew I shouldn't listen to it, but I just couldn't help myself. Right, and it was a battle. But you know what? Here's the thing. I fought that battle a long time ago. I'm not standing up here now saying, man, I can't wait after the service. I got to hear this song from Aerosmith. I don't have that desire anymore. Now, I'm sure it's down there to a little bit of a degree. You hear that old song you listened to 20 years ago, and all of a sudden, you know, your flesh is like, all right, let's bring it back, right? But it's a lot easier. I don't find myself listening to rock music during the week like I used to. You say, why? Because of the fact when you fight that battle and you go without it for a long time, the flesh gets weaker and your desire for that gets weaker. So here's the thing. You're never going to have perfect freedom, but if you fight this battle, you're going to start to have more freedom. You say, why? Because you have less of a desire to do wrong now because you fought against it. But here's what I'm saying. Spiritual freedom isn't free. You got to fight for it. You want that freedom to do right and obey God's commandments. You got to fight against the will of the flesh. You got to fight to do right. You got to choose to walk in the Spirit. And if you don't fight that fight, bondage of sin will control you. Sin will tell you what to do. It will reign in your mortal body. Now look, we're all at different levels spiritually. We fight different fights and we understand that. But I'm sure that as I just talked about music, there's certain people in this room saying, yeah, I know I shouldn't listen to it. Brother Stuckey's right, but I still am listening to whatever, K-pop, whatever you're into. Right? Whatever music you listen to. It's like, you know, yeah, everybody fights the battle against music. And, you know, there's a lot of people in this room that have overcome that battle also. It's not like I'm the only one. A lot of people have fought that, and you're not listening to the wrong music anymore. But what you find is once you fight and win that battle, it's on to the next battle. You want freedom in your life, you got to fight for it every step of the way. And you don't have 100% freedom. And here's the thing, if you choose not to fight, well then sin will reign. Sin will control you. Sin will tell you what to do, and you're going to be walking in the flesh, not walking in the Spirit. The Bible says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. If you are obeying sin and you don't want to do that, is that freedom? No. You're doing what you don't want to do. And then it says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now, it's interesting the terminology he uses with the word instrument, because you think of a musical instrument. And what the Bible's saying is that when you walk in the Spirit, it's like you turn your body into an instrument of wanting to do righteousness. Whereas if you walk in the flesh, it's almost like you cause all of your body to just want to do wrong, where it's designed for a certain thing. I mean, you build a piano or a guitar or whatever, it's designed to do a certain thing. And you start walking in the flesh, it's like you're designing your body to just do wrong. But if you walk in the Spirit, it's like you're designing your body to do what's right. It says in verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin shall not dominate you. For you're not under the law, but under grace. Now, of course, Paul's saying it is possible for sin to dominate you. He's saying, do not allow it. Don't allow sin to control your life. Walk in the Spirit. Fight against the flesh. Now, of course, this is difficult for all of us. I mean, Jesus told his apostles, like, couldn't you have watched with me for an hour? But the Spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. It's hard. You try to do something right, it's difficult. I don't stand up here saying that I'm perfect and I never struggle. Just give an example. Right now, I'm trying to memorize the book of Hebrews. I'm in Hebrews chapter 7. And I'll tell you what I desire to do tonight. I desire when I go to bed to spend 1 hour just memorizing the Bible before I go to sleep. But you know what takes place? After like 5 minutes, it's like, oh, maybe that's enough. It's hard. It's difficult. I mean, I wish it was just really easy where it's like, hey, you know what? I want to read the Bible for an hour and then just for an hour. Like, this is the greatest thing I've ever done in my life and no resistance. But yet the flesh fights against you. It doesn't want you to do right. It's not going to be easy, right? What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. So should we just go out and do whatever we want because we're saved by grace through faith? Well, of course not. When we go soul winning, sometimes people accuse us of this. It's like, well, you're giving a license to sin by saying it's eternal life, that you can't lose your salvation. And what's interesting about that is our church preaches pretty hard against sin compared to the average church. We make salvation as free as possible because it's a gift. But then you come to this church, I mean, a lot of people are probably thinking, man, my old church never preached against what I wore, what I listened to, what I watched. And I come to Verity Baptist, and you're saying I should do this and this and this. Now, keep in mind, I tell you what you should do, but I don't force you to do anything.
Right.
You can listen to whatever music you want.
Right.
I mean, if you want to go out and just watch TV for hours and hours a night, you can go ahead and do that. Now, I'm still going to tell you it's sin when you're in church. That's worldliness. It's wrong. But you have freedom to do whatever you want. Right? And so, but here's the thing. I mean, you live that sort of life, what you're going to find is you always go further than you want to go. And it controls you. You know, one of the big things that really kind of motivates me is I've got 3 young kids. And I'll tell you what, before you have kids or when they're really young, you kind of are like, well, you know I have problems in my life, but it's not that big of a deal. And as your kids start getting older, you're like, wait a minute. They pay attention to everything I do. Everything I watch, they're paying attention to. It's like, I better make sure I'm setting a good example. And it kind of forces you to kind of step up your game a little bit because you want to pass on, you know, a godly heritage. Not just salvation, but I told my kids recently, I said, hey, the number one thing I want for you when you're an adult is that you love God, that you're serving God. More than money or a great job or whatever, the number one thing is that you love God. It's not good enough for me that they just get saved.
Right.
I mean, yeah, of course, step number one, get saved. But here's the thing, I want more than that for my kids. I want them to be in church every week. I want them to read the Bible every day. I want them to be serving God. Whether my sons become pastors or not, you know, honestly, it's not the biggest deal in the world to me because as long as they're serving God, that's fine. But I want them to love God and be involved in church and be a soul winner and read the Bible and memorize the Bible and pray to God. That's what I want for the life of my kids. And kind of forces you to say, hey, I better step up my game a little bit. Because here's the thing. Yes, you can do whatever you want and go to heaven. There's repercussions.
Right.
You drink and smoke and watch every movie. What do you think your kids are going to do when they get older? You do not have freedom to live a sinful life and have no effect on anybody else whatsoever.
Right.
Because the Bible says, none of us liveth to himself and no man dieth to himself. Meaning that the way you live your life, it affects other people.
Right.
Most specifically, your family. In a church sense, Peter quits church and then others are like, all right, I'll follow you. The life you live affects other people. Right? So what life are you living? It says in verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. You are going to serve something. You are going to obey something. It's either going to be obeying God or obeying your flesh. Serving God or serving your flesh. Now, none of us are 100% perfectly serving God. But I'm just saying it's foolish to take this attitude, I don't want to have a list of rules to tell me what to do and what to wear and this and that. It's like, here's the thing. If you reject that, then you're going to be serving and obeying something else. And there are a lot of commandments in the Word of God, but you get thrown in prison, they got more rules for you. Right? I mean, you work a job, you've got rules. It's just the way it is. It's like, well, you know what? I want to have freedom to show up 2 hours late for work, take a 3-hour lunch break, clock out early, and become the CEO in 1 year. That's stupid. It's not going to happen. If you want that, you got to work for it. You got to be diligent. You got to work hard. You can't just have everything you want in life without doing the work. Right? One thing that people can really relate to is New Year's resolutions, because the biggest New Year's resolution people probably have is something health-related, I would say. Now, at a church like ours, I'm sure there's a lot of spiritual, you know, goals that you have, like reading the Bible, memorizing the Bible, things such as that. But here's the thing, you know, oftentimes when it comes to like making changes and dieting and trying to lose weight, people want to live the same life they've always lived. I want to eat the exact same food and just exercise the exact same amount and have different results. Look, they say that insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result. There's not going to be a different result. I mean, any goal that you work for, you've got to put in the time and effort. It's just not going to happen where you just wake up and it's like, man, my New Year's resolution just kind of happened. I mean, if you want to start reading the Bible every day, hey, that is a great plan to have. What do you need to do? Get a Bible reading plan to tell you what to read, when to do it, and where to do it. Well, I don't want to have any rules telling me when and where and what. Then you're not going to do it. If you want to be successful in life, let me help you out. Give yourself organization and structure to tell you what to do. On my phone, I can go here. It's like on Monday, it's like, this is what I do. This is when I make the bulletin. This is when I write my sermons. This is when I do this. This is when I do that. You say, why? Because the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. And if I have free time without a list telling me, do this next, it's going to be like, all right, I'll just be lazy. If you're smart, you would actually put yourself under a list of rules to help you out, just in a secular sense. And even more so with the Word of God, because if you obey God's commandments, you're going to have good success, the Bible says. Where are we at? Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 15. Romans 8, verse 15. The Bible says in Romans 8, verse 15, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Now, make no mistake about it. Me preaching you should obey God's commandments, I am not trying to put you in fear of the fact that, oh, I might lose my salvation, or maybe I'm not saved. That's not what I'm saying at all, because salvation is a gift, and it's eternal life. And I don't need to put you back in the bondage of fear, because salvation is something you have freedom in Christ. And that's what he's expressing at the beginning of Galatians 5. But here's the thing. I am trying to put you in fear of judgment in this life. I am trying to put you in fear of destroying your life. Now, if your salvation, it's secure if you believed on Christ. It's eternal life. But if you don't live your life with structure and organization and rules, you're going to find you accomplish nothing. You accomplish nothing. And you're going to wake up, 30 years have passed, and you're going to wonder, what did I do for God? I wish I could just turn back the clock. You don't have the freedom to do that. I wish I could go back to every day of my life where I wasn't really serving God, wasn't really meditating upon God's word. I wish I could change every one of those days, but I can't. Now, whatever age you got saved, for me at the age of 18, before you're saved, it's like, well, if you don't even know how to go to heaven, you can't really do anything. But after being saved, I wish I could take back all those days of wasting time on things that didn't matter and just change them. But you can't. Those days are gone, never to return. You don't have freedom just to roll back the clock. But you have freedom now, a choice of what you want to do. Now, the flesh is going to fight against you, against what the Spirit wants, and you've got to make that choice to walk in the Spirit on a daily basis. Verse 16, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." Now, when you think of heirs, you think of like inheritance. the heir to a throne is like being the prince where one day you become the king, but you're not the king now. Or the heir to a big inheritance is basically right now you're just a child, and while your parents are around, they have that, but you will be the heir to that mansion or house or inheritance or whatever. Here's the thing. Being an heir to something means it's not happening now. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't have it now. I mean, if you've got a major inheritance that's going to be passed down from your parents and your parents are alive, you don't have it now. Right. It is one day. And we are going to be heirs and joint heirs with Christ. We are going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ in the millennial reign of Christ. But not now. Right now, you're fighting against the flesh every single day. You don't have that right now. One day, as the same person, you're going to rule and reign with Christ. But the dependence on how much you rule and reign with Christ is, what are you doing? And if you're doing nothing for God, well, you're not going to be doing a whole lot. And look, there's this expression, and I like the expression, but let me just say this. Like, you know, I'd rather, you know, it's from the Bible. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God, and I get that. But here's the thing. What if you could be more than that by working harder? I mean, of course, in this life, you try to be successful. You want to get promoted, things such as that. Well, if you want to rule and reign with Christ more, what's the secret? Read the Bible more. Go soul winning more. Fight against your flesh more. Obey God's commandments more. That's the secret. And then it says in verse 18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." Bible says the creature is waiting for, meaning it hasn't happened yet. We are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. We are waiting for the end result that's going to be visible. Because when Jesus was here, God was manifest in the flesh. He was manifest, everybody saw him that was here. We are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. You see, when I got saved, it's not like all of a sudden I saw a bright light from heaven and I became stronger and smarter and better looking and in better shape. And that didn't take place when I got saved. I am waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And at the rapture, you will not struggle with sin anymore. You get that glorified body. You're not going to be drinking anymore. You're not going to be listening to rock music. You're not going to be doing wrong anymore. But that hasn't taken place yet. The manifestation of the sons of God will happen one day if you're saved. As of now, it's a fight for spiritual freedom. Because the flesh is fighting against what you want to do. It's going to be a fight until the day you die. Verse number 20. "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly." If it's not willingly, is that 100% freedom? No. Our old man, our sinful flesh, it says, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bond of corruption. Notice this, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. But do we have that glorious liberty right now? No, we don't. Now we have freedom in the fact that no matter what you do, you're still saved and on your way to heaven. We understand that. We preach that. We make it clear. But in terms of 100% liberty, where it's just always easy to do what's right and you never do wrong, you don't have that yet. Right. None of us do. We still sin. We still do wrong. But one day we will get that glorious liberty. This is why Paul says things like, "I'm in the strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ. But being here is more needful." And part of that is not just that heaven's a better place, but one of the things that really frustrates you as a saved person is when you do wrong and you sin and you're like, man, why can't I just obey? Why is it so hard for me to read the Bible every day? Because you don't have 100% liberty yet. None of us do. Yes, we have freedom in the fact that we're saved and on their way to heaven, but when people make these statements, man, I'm free in Christ, don't tell me what to do. I can do whatever I want. That's a weird attitude, number one. What kind of attitude is it? Man, don't tell me I can't get drunk and do drugs. It's like, what's wrong with you? But But here's the thing. It's just like you can do whatever you want and you're still saved because it's eternal life. But if you take that approach to life, you will destroy your life. If you want to live a life with meaning and have true liberty, it comes by fighting for it. It's not free. It's not automatic. You got to fight for it. Spiritual freedom, it's not free. Yes, spiritual freedom in the sense that you're going to go to heaven is free. But in terms of in this life, it's a fight where your flesh fights against the spirit. Now turn to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. And for sake of time, I cut out some of the verses there, but the Bible speaks about, it's not just us, but it also says the people of this world. The whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Look, nobody wants to age and get older and start having health problems, but this is just the way life is. You get older. It's part of life. The Bible talks about the evil days in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and nobody is willingly doing that. Nobody wants that, but that's just the way it is. It's not just us, so don't take this attitude. Man, it's so hard as a Christian. Look, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Everybody has problems. Everybody. If you leave church, it's not going to help you. It's going to make it worse. If you don't fight against the flesh, it's going to make it worse. Now, here's the thing, though. The easy thing to do is the wrong thing. The easy thing to do is be lazy. The easy thing is always the wrong thing. The right thing is the hard thing. But here's the thing, if you just give in all the time, and look, obviously we're all sinners and we all, at least from time to time, are struggling and sinning and doing wrong. But if you just give in and let the flesh control you, it's going to take you further than you're planning to go. It's going to end up worse for you. It's going to destroy your life. You got to choose to fight against the sinful flesh. Ephesians 4, verse 22. Ephesians 4, verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And by the way, this is not what takes place at salvation, because you still have the old man. This is a daily thing. And you say, how do you know that? Because the next verse says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So basically, you know, you live out in the world, you live a worldly life, or you hear worldliness, or you go home, it's like, man, I got to renew myself by reading the Bible again. I got to renew myself. And it's a daily thing where you're renewing your mind, you're renewing your mind. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself walking in the flesh and doing wrong. You got to have that daily renewal. Because I don't know about you, but when I worked a secular job and I went to work, they weren't playing old-fashioned hymns at my job. When people came up to me to talk to me, they're not saying, hey, I was reading the book of Jeremiah, and I was confused about this verse. No, when people came up to talk to me, they came to talk to me about sports or entertainment or whatever. They weren't talking about the Bible. And so here's the thing. When you're around the world, that just kind of rubs off on you. Right. I'm not saying we become like Amish and just avoid the world, because you can't avoid the world. We're going to be in the world. Right? I mean, until you get to heaven, you're going to be around people that are talking about sin and worldliness and wickedness. It's the way it is. Here in the Philippines, you just go out in public on a day when it's not raining, and a lot of women are just not going to be dressed correctly. I wish that weren't the case, but it's a fact. Sadly, here in the Philippines, a lot of men aren't dressed correctly either. It's like, hey, that dress is for a woman, right? There's a men's section and a women's section in a store. As a guy, you don't go to the women's section to find your clothes. That should be kind of obvious to people, but apparently it's not, right? Just in the world today, if you just go out in public, it's like your mind gets defiled by the world. And you got to renew your mind all the time. Bible says in verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Every day, ask yourself, am I going to walk in the new man, walk in the spirit, or walk in the flesh and walk in the old man? This is a daily fight. Now, logically, turn to Psalm 37. We'll close up. Psalm 37. Psalms is right in the middle of your Bible, Psalm 37. Logically, it's best to start your day walking in the new man. Because of the fact, if you start in the old man, the flesh gets strong, and then you cannot do what you would. It's better to get your momentum going forward. It's also better because of the fact you've got free time. Use it wisely, because you never know what's going to come up later in the day. You put off your Bible reading, then all of a sudden, it's 10 o'clock already? I haven't read my Bible today. Because time just flies by. So start your day walking in the new man. But this is a daily fight. And then, of course, you go out in the world, and then you come back. It's like, man, I got to renew my mind again. Because of the fact we live in the world. I wish that weren't the case, but it is the case. We don't have 100% liberty right now. The flesh will fight against your spirit until the day you die. But I want to show you an encouraging verse to close in Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. The Bible says you delight yourself in the Lord, and he's going to give you what your heart desires. Does that mean he's going to give you alcohol and drugs and all kinds of sin? No, but here's the thing. When you start walking in the new man and you read the Bible, you know what you start to desire? You start to desire what God desires also. Because your actions affect your heart. Now, the world has this opposite. It's like, you know, just follow your heart. Well, here's what's stupid about that. Your heart follows your actions. Just think about it for a little while. You read the Bible, all of a sudden you start desiring it. You start going soul winning, you desire it. You start serving God, you desire it. Look, I'll be honest with you. When I first started reading the Bible 20 years ago, I'm just like, man, I really don't want to do this, but God says to do it. And as I started to read it, I started to desire it. And as you do right, what happens is your actions your heart will follow your actions. You do right, and then all of a sudden you start to desire it. I mean, it's like this in a secular sense too as well. If you're trying to get in shape and you've got yourself on a strict diet and exercise, you start to exercise and get on that diet, you start to desire it. You no longer want the junk food. You want to do what's right. You want to work out. You want to be in shape. But the feelings, the heart follows the action. That's just the way it is. So here's the thing, commit thy way unto the Lord, as it says in the next verse, and what's going to take place, he's going to bring it to pass, because your desires are going to match God's desires. So here's what I'm saying, even if you don't feel like it, choose to walk in the new man, wake up, read the Bible, pray to God, memorize the Bible, and what you're going to find is you start to desire that. Because all of you have at least a small desire, if you're saved, to serve God on the inside. But here's the thing. You also have a desire to do wrong coming from your flesh. And as you start to do the actions of what's right, this desire starts to get stronger and this desire gets weaker. Now, it's never going to be perfect because even the greatest characters in the Bible, they still make mistakes, they still sin, and all of us are going to until the day we die. What I'm saying is you start walking in the new man, you're going to start desiring to do what's right, and you're going to be doing what's right because you desire it. And you know what that's called? It's called liberty. Because if he's giving you what you desire, what is that? It's liberty. And if you want spiritual freedom, you got to fight for it. It's not automatic. It's not a guarantee it's going to happen. You start to do right, though, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find yourself having a lot more freedom because you're going to be doing what you want to do. God is going to give you the desires of your heart. But here's the thing. It's not free. Say, well, I'm saved, Brother Stuckey. It's automatic. No, it's not. You got to fight for it. You got to strengthen the spirit, strengthen the new man, and weaken the old man. It's not a guarantee it's going to happen. You got to fight for it. What you should do is when you wake up tomorrow morning, say, you know what? It doesn't matter how much I desire this or this or whatever. It's like, you know what? I'm just going to start my day reading the Bible, start my day praying to God, start walking in the new man. And you know what? If you follow this pattern, start doing it for a couple weeks, having a daily walk with God, you're going to find yourself starting to desire to do what's right. And then you can't help but speak the things you've seen and heard, and people are like, man, something's changed about you. Yeah, what's changed is you're drawing nigh to God. And all of a sudden, that becomes your desire. You're going to have a lot of great freedom in your life. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here today and ask you to help us to apply the sermon to our lives. Help us to fight against our flesh. Help us to try to do right and to serve you, God. And I ask you to help give us liberty and freedom in our lives to do what's right and start to have that desire, God. Help us to just on a daily basis cast off the works of darkness and fight against the flesh and walk in the new man. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's get our hymns for our last song. Let's turn to hymn number 207. Hymn number 207. Sing the song, Only a Sinner. On the first, not have I gotten, but what I receive. Grace hath bestowed it since I have believed. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner,
saved by grace. Only a sinner,
saved by grace. This is my story. To God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. On the second, once I was foolish.
Have a short break.